Technorama episode 619, Cyber Turkeys. Hello and welcome to Technorama. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time listening or watching Technorama, thank you very much for joining us. My name is Joe, and if you're a returning listener, viewer, thank you. Also, we appreciate all kinds, the first-timers and the long-timers and the addicts and the crackheads and you're all...
If they keep coming back, is that the definition of insanity? They just keep coming back looking for another result and they're not getting
different?
It?
Right. If you keep listening to Technorama and expecting something different, that's the definition of insanity. Four out of five people admit they wet their pants listening to Technorama. The fifth person just won't admit it.
That's only because we've been sitting here for so long. Oh, it's not us. No. I've been sitting here for so long.
I'm Chuck Tomasi, and that other voice you hear is the wonderful Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm doing well. Had a long weekend. That's been good, though.
Excellent. Excellent. Yeah. I know that the viewers have already heard this because we roll the cameras before we start the recording. But if there's a few things that just don't go quite right in this show, we're missing a machine. So I've got a little bit different setup tonight, and it could be interesting. But we'll
instead of apologizing for that, why don't we do it like this? Hey, if you notice something that's not in our regular show, it's like that looking at that picture and you try to pick out the 10 things that aren't right, you know, compared.
You sound like the highlights comer, the highlights magazine. Find the banana in the tree.
Actually, you know what? Long time ago, I won a contest and I won like $20 to, it was to find all the things that were in, that were wrong from one picture to the next.
Yeah.
I won $20, and you know what I bought with it?
Another magazine?
Yeah. I'm a double up or no, you know. No, what I did was I bought the Snowspeeder, the Star Wars Snowspeeder back in the day. But
all right,
that's what I was thinking of. All right, so find the things that aren't right in this show and let us know because...
Compared to the last show.
Well, because it's almost over, because and I know we've been busy, but it is International Technorama Voicemail Month.
It is. International Technorama Voicemail. Well, I like how we capitalized on the entire globe on that.
Yeah, why not? Podcasting's worldwide.
That it is. Let us get on with, what are we doing? Feedback?
Yes.
Do I have my voicemail music here? Probably not. What do we normally play? We don't, so let's just keep going. Okay, we asked you last week. I'm sorry. Without the soundboard, it's really hard to do this. We asked you last time, I'm not even going to say last week, because we were off for a couple of weeks. By the way, everything is cool. Everything's all right. No need to panic. Craig and I are both back in full capacity. Our question last time was, if you had a chance to broadcast one song to all 7.8 billion people on this planet, what song would you choose? And I'm going to read my answers. If you take the Technorama answers, I would appreciate it. So I'm not going to go through all of them. But Tiffany says, What a Wonderful World. Oh, I love that song.
I see hills of green.
Just hearing it makes greens my voice.
All right. Where is the Love by Black Eyed Peas, says Mike Wells. All right.
Okay.
Let's see. We've got Imagine by John Lennon. Oh, very good choice. Very good choice. Rick Stringer said that one in. Forever Young by Bob Dylan, says Scott. Weber says, Let There Be Peace on Earth and Let It Begin With Me. You know, I like the way that people are starting this out. They're not going with, you know, it's the end of the world as we know it.
Yeah, well, and you know what? In all fairness, you could get away with that one this year.
I like to say that our circle of friends on Technorama and Facebook in general are good-hearted people. The Kurtley says, "Hey Jude" by the Beatles, which is another good one. Mm-hmm. Give Peace a Chance. Tiffany comes back with another one. Let's see. I'm going down. See if we got some other good ones. Everyday People by Sly and the Family Stone. Nice. Okay, here's one that's nefarious. Joel says, Baby Shark, because I'm a meanie. And he got a couple of happy faces on that one.
How about the Badger song while you're at it?
Let's see.
Badger, 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 Badger. Mushroom, Mushroom.
Brian said Fraggle Rock.
Yes.
Okay. Cat Stevens' Wild World by Deirdre. Let's see. God Only Knows by the Beach Boys. That's from Mike Smith. Grandpa Choco, 99 bottles of beer on the wall. I'm not sure why, but I like it.
Why not? Hey, you know, why not? Take one down and pass it around,
Marty,
right?
Marty says, I want to live in a dream. I want to live in a dream by Oasis. Okay. My sister says, Let It Be by the Beatles. All right. That's the highlights of that list. What do you got in your pick list?
I didn't actually reshare it because I was busy away from the internet.
No, you
today.
Get the yeah, but, you get the Technorama ones.
Yeah, so the Technorama ones. Alexis Duran says, what do you mean if I could? How do you think Despacio got so many hits?
Okay.
All right. Jack Mangan says, eat it. From Weird Al.
there's enough. Jack is
and
so negative.
And there's the money shot right there. John Miller Jr. said the thong song by Cisco, the season finale of Legends of Tomorrow, got me hooked.
No, yeah. Nobody wanted Baby But Got Back by Sir Mix-a-Lot.
Yeah. the like song. Oh, here you go. CJ, our friend CJ, said the song that Bill and Ted played that brought peace and unity to the world.
What was the Bill and Ted song that brought
you? Didn't see Bill and Ted 3?
No.
Where they finally played the song that they were supposed to play all this time, right? Right? Oh my gosh! You need to go.
Pardon anyway, me so, if I haven't had a chance to watch Bill and Ted.
Yeah, no. Sweet Steve says the final countdown. There's your 2020.
There's your 2020 theme.
So, what song would you pick, Mr. Karaoke?
I would pick a song. I would sing a song to all 7.8 billion people in the world.
All right. I would, in reverb?
imagine there's no heaven. I like Imagine by John Lennon. That would probably be one of my top picks. Or I'd like to teach the world to sing in perfect harmony. Okay.
I don't know. You know what came to mind for me was Peace Train from Cat Stevens.
Ooh, nice.
I don't know why that popped in my head. I like the song.
All righty.
So there you go.
Well, nobody picked Fat Bottom Girls by Queen.
That was my second choice.
That was my closer on Saturday Night Karaoke.
Oh, did you? Yeah, I missed
sang
it.
That
I'm sorry.
Last night. Yeah, that was fun. Donna thought my parents might get offended. I was like, what?
You didn't write the song.
I didn't write the song. Well, anyway, thank you very much for all of your questions. Did I turn the reverb all the way down? I thought I still heard a little bit of tweak. All right, it's gone. That is it for the feedback. Let's get into history, shall we? Oh, boy. We're going to try and do this in 3 minutes and 21 seconds because it wasn't a very eventful day in history for us.
Wow.
Let's rewind
And you're going to jump right into the music?
That was from our preview earlier. On this day in history for November 25th, 2020, this is the 330th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are 36 days remaining in 2020. It was on this date in 1915 that Albert Einstein presented the field equations of general relativity to the Prussian Academy of Sciences. E equals MC squared. I'm not sure what that was going on.
36 years ago today, 36 top musicians gathered in a Notting Hill studio and recorded Band-Aid's Do They Know It's Christmas in order to raise money for the famine relief in Ethiopia.
I remember that. Oh, man, we're feeling old now.
I know. I hear it all the time. They always play it each year.
Well, that's because it's a Christmas song, knucklehead.
Oh, that's why I'm hearing it in July. I got it.
No, you really need to change your Spotify station once in a while, Greg.
Oh, maybe that's it.
Every time I'm on Spotify, they're playing Christmas music. What's up?
I know.
Happy birthday goes out of this date to French astronomer and botanist Jean-François Séguier, born on his date in 1703.
And Julius Robert von Mayer, the German physician and physicist, was born 206 years ago today.
Mayer or Meyer? Because it's spelled Mayer, the same way Mayer, as Oscar Mayer. Mayer. O-S-C-A-R-M-A-Y-E-R.
All right, Meyer. Whatever.
Ernst Schroeder, the German mathematician and academic, was born on the same date in 1841.
And also born on that same date in 1944, American actor, television personality, game show host, lawyer, and author, Ben Stein.
Did you know he was a lawyer?
I didn't know the lawyer part, I know he wrote speeches and all kinds of
Can
stuff.
Can you imagine that guy's his closing statements?
Well,
what we have is a case against civilization.
Juror.
Witness. Juror 12 fell asleep. No, he's been dead for 3 days.
Yeah.
Also turning 73 on this day is American actor John Larroquette. Night Court.
And also, Night Court. Yeah, speaking of court, also born on the same date in 1960, American singer-songwriter Amy Grant.
Did you know she was born on the same day as John F. Kennedy Jr.? Same day, same year.
Is it? Okay, I didn't know that.
Oh, look at that. Born November 25th, 1960, American lawyer, journalist, and publisher John F. Kennedy Jr. How about that? Listener birthdays.
I know that now.
Listener birthdays included in the last 30 seconds. November 25th, Lane Williams. November 26th, Joni. Brad P. from NJ is on the 27th. Ben Sweetser, coworker and longtime listener, is on the 28th. And Claudia Miranda, also a longtime listener, on December 1st. That's the way it was on this day in history for November 25th, 2020. Hey, it worked.
Yeah.
I sound surprised. If you want to be on the birthday calendar, this part I can do. Let's see if we can do that. If you want to be on the birthday calendar, contact us, Patreon Live. Birthday, there it is. I'm doing the titles. I don't remember what order they go in. You can go over to chuckchat.com/wiki or chuckchat.com/birthday. Get your name on there, and we will give you a shout out at the appropriate time of year. And if it is your birthday and we didn't call you out this time for November 25th through December 2nd, happy birthday to you. Very much appreciate it that we have so many wonderful listeners to help us get through these crazy times. And we hope that we're at least a little mildly entertaining, if not a little off our game tonight. But let's continue on with the news. I think I got a news. I did not get a news. Oh.
Good news, everyone.
Oh, I'm disappointed. I didn't line up a clip for that. Yeah.
Good news, crybabies.
Okay. Shh. You got to do the door.
Yeah.
Let's continue on as if nothing really happened there.
Yeah.
A Swiss city. This is from BBC now. A Swiss city bans noisy silent discos. There's a headline that'll grab your attention that says Technorama, right?
Right.
It says event organizers had hoped to hold two silent discos where music is relayed to headphones worn by participants rather than played on loudspeakers. On rooftop terraces in the Flan area of the city. You know what? Real quick, I need to change glasses. Ugh. Those are not my studio glasses, and it's painful to do that.
Your stunt glasses are now on.
These are the ones that perfect focal distance for this lens. The local news website reports, however, after taking on board complaints from residents following earlier silent discos, Lausanne's business regulation department turned down the application for the parties, which would have let revelers dance in silence until 5 o'clock in the morning. It can't be true. Speaking to the Swiss 20 Minutes news website, Olivier Malin, director of the Four Noise Festival, which had previously held silent discos in Lausanne, said, "Given our experience in the neighboring district of Pully, we could have tried at least one test in the center of Lausanne and then make an assessment. But no."
That was a direct quote, by the way.
That's what I said. Unfortunately for the organizers, it appears that officials listened to the complaints of locals who said the events are not as silent as advertised. Well, people, you know, because they have their headphones on, they're going, "Can you hear me?"
Yes, exactly. You know, at first you go, "Hey, you know what? This is kind of a good idea." Then you start thinking about everybody's clanking glasses and you can, you know, or your whatever. You
lots
can,
of shuffling you know, drop feet.
Yeah. Shuffling feet. Yeah. Kind of like a shuffling feet and people yelling at each other.
Let's see. They were not as silent as advertised, a concern aired by the Austrian city of Salzburg in 2014. Florence Nicolier, head of the department responsible for issuing licenses in Lausanne, told 20 Minutes that during silent discos, the noise caused by the clientele is not negligible. The problem, the local says, is that the participants can't help singing along to the music. Oh, that's even better. Yeah. Roxanne!
I hope they didn't use the noise-canceling headphones.
The department's decision on singing partygoers is final and can't be appealed. Oh, just put a sign up that says no singing.
That's funny.
Oh, that is funny. They can't help but sing. Do you think that? I'm trying to imagine if I were in that situation. Would you end up singing?
Maybe a little. I don't know. When I have music on the car.
Take it to.
I don't necessarily sing with headphones on though.
With a lot of people all gathered around, you might be tempted to do it, especially if it was a sing-along song like, we will rock you, right? Or, you gotta fight for your right to party. And everybody's shouting at the top of their lungs.
Right.
Even though nobody can hear them except the neighbors going, this sounds really terrible without music.
Right.
Oh, that poor Swiss city. It's tempting to do that with just as an experiment to see, what would people sing along with and make a video of that where you couldn't hear the music and just see people dancing around.
You ever seen that? Not necessarily the singing part, but you ever watched, the Improv Anywhere?
No.
Or Anywhere, YouTube channel. They set up, not necessarily pranks. I was going to say pranks, but that's not right. They set up situations and they had people gather pre-COVID, gather at a park, and they all had headphones on and they were all supposed to play an MP3 at a specific time. And when they did, everybody's doing the same kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a whole gathering. It was kind of the same sort of thing where it was quiet from the outside. You just hear people going, you know, moving around or seeing moving around.
Doing the Thriller dance.
Doing the Thriller dance. But then they would cut to the audio and you can hear what they were doing. So it was kind of neat. Or what they're hearing.
I'm really tempted to go to a silent disco, but we should try that
COVID.
On the next Star Trek cruise. They should do that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that would be nice. It'd be easier to order a drink.
You'd think.
I went to the costume party and I remember it being so loud. I was yelling at the guy, you know, trying to order a drink, you know.
You know what they said is a good way to, even if you go to a restaurant these days and even if you're eating outdoors, tell them to turn the music down because the louder the music, the louder you have to talk and the more spray comes out of your mouth when you talk louder. It's true.
Well, of course that's true.
Never thought of that.
Yeah, absolutely, that's true.
So,
I can't, you know, even in the best of times, I can't stand it when I go to a restaurant with 3-4 people and I'm going to talk, you know, we're going to talk to each other. And then the music's so loud, I'm sitting there yelling.
It gets louder.
And then we're across the table.
Yeah. It gets louder as the night goes on, too. It's like they keep boosting it up. It's like, who asked for this? We're having a dinner, for God's sake. It's not a dance club.
I went into a... here in my town, into Jimmy John's to order some sandwiches for Kim and myself. And this is a long time ago. And I remember walking in, it was so freaking loud. I mean, it was like obnoxiously loud. I think they were acting like there wasn't any, maybe there weren't any customers in there at the moment. And they cranked it up, you know, just doing their work because it was ungodly loud. I was like, I hope somebody doesn't have a hearing problem because this is ridiculous.
You know what you got to do? You got to walk up to the counter and go like this. Let's see if we can do this. Bring
your lips.
You go. I'd like to order a sandwich. I want a big pito. A big pito.
Yeah.
I'd like a big pito. No not tomato. That's right.
All right.
A bag of chips.
We get it.
Let's see what you get.
Yeah. Mystery meat sandwich is what you get.
No. I asked for a big veto with no tomato.
I'd like to return the sandwich.
The salt and vinegar.
All right.
Salt and vinegar.
All right. Moving on. All right. Scientists create diamonds at room temperature in minutes.
A diamond in the rough.
That's right. So diamonds might be forever, but this doesn't mean that it can't take eons to form. The gemstones are usually created after carbon is crushed and heated far beneath the Earth's surface over billions of years. Or we've heard of other planets where it rains diamonds, but I'm sure it has to do a lot of pressure and stuff like that. But anyway, after all this time and all this pressure, that's what makes them so coveted. Well, now scientists in Australia say that they have sped up the process into just a matter of minutes and at room temperature. I don't know why when I read this, I kept thinking of superconductors. Because, you know,
cold fusion?
Trying to make that at room temperature. Anyway, so an international team of researchers led by Australian National University and RMIT University in Melbourne, Australia.
Wait. Team of researchers led by Australian National University. Would the student body of that, the Australian National University students, I'm sorry.
What?
The acronym, buddy. The acronym.
Oh.
Australian National University.
Oh, never mind. No. Move on. I got it
cold
now.
Resist. Sorry.
Anyway, they said Wednesday that they have created two types of diamonds at room temperature by using high pressure equivalent of to 640 African elephants balancing on a tip of a ballet shoe.
Okay, now I've got like Fantasia in my mind.
You're all dancing around and they end up on a point. So the researchers said they were able to create two types of structurally distinct diamonds.
Yes.
One similar to,
Go ahead.
Oh, one similar to those typical worn in jewelry. And the other type called lanzandalite, which is found naturally at the site of meteor impacts and is harder than most diamonds. Synthetic diamonds are not themselves new. They have already been created in labs since 1940s. In a bid to find cheaper, ethical, and environmentally friendly stones. But researchers were excited to create such diamonds at room temperature, especially the harder lanzandalite. That's right. Lanzandalite. Yeah, lanzandalite. That's what I said. So diamonds, which which has the potential to be used to cut through ultra-solid materials on mining sites.
Nice.
And that's pretty cool because you think, I know they use obviously diamonds for mining. So,
yes.
Yeah. So, creating more of this rare but super useful diamond is a long term aim of this work, said Xing Xiao Huang at ANU Scholar.
Okay. Do me a favor, real quick. Are you looking at the Facebook feed? Look at the Facebook video feed. You need to move your head a little to the left. You're the right. To the right. Yeah.
Wait a minute.
To your right. There. Yes.
Huh. That's funny because my camera's not in line with the monitor. But okay.
Okay. Well, the other thing is I've got a picture in picture up by your head, and it was like half covering your face. That's the other new effect we're trying tonight.
The other effect.
Covering up your face.
So anyway, this is pretty promising.
Now you just leaned
cool.
into the picture again. Stop leaning to your left.
Why? I like that.
Yeah, thanks, Larry King.
How about this? Is that better?
I'll just turn your camera off.
Yeah. Anyway, the diamonds look pretty cool. I think it's interesting. I wonder how they, I'd like to see them, how they do the pressure on this, such a small point, but they're able to make it in minutes. So.
Yeah. Cool. You could have it. It's like lens crafters. We'll get you your engagement ring in an hour.
Yeah. Come back in an hour. We'll have you all set. Mike Robison says, you should do a silent disco playing Rick Astley and do a live action Rick roll. Play a couple tunes and then switch over to Rick Astley. Yeah.
That would work.
Amy, I'm going backwards a little bit. Amy Bowen says, yes, I participated in the night, she did in the MP3 experiment in LA with the Improv Anywhere. In 2010 and 2011, inspired by the Improv Anywhere. It was awesome. Participating in a real one in New York City is on my bucket list.
Neat. Thank you.
Yeah, post-COVID or herd immunity. There we go. I added that part.
All right. We have one more story for you, if you can believe that. Let's get this going again. I want to see if this works. A team of four astronauts blasted off from Cape Canaveral, Florida, inside a SpaceX Crew Dragon this past weekend. We all remember that. I was sitting in the... Actually, that was a while ago. Was it 2 weeks ago? Was that just last week?
Just the other day. Few days ago.
Sunday night.
Yeah, this story is from the 20th. So
that's
it just happened.
Long week. Holy smokes.
It's been a long month this week.
I guess. Okay. Because I remember
they sent four guys this time. Remember before they sent two.
Yeah, and that was
up there for a few months. That was early in the summer.
Test flight. So, mm-hmm. Well, the team successfully reached the International Space Station just 27 hours later. That's a long flight. That's longer than flying LA to Sydney. Sunday night's launch was a historic moment. It was the first operational crew change mission to deliver astronauts to the space station from American soil since the retirement of the space shuttle program in 2011. Oh, it seems like just moments ago that we did that on Technorama, doesn't it? Well,
yeah.
Let's see. Now I got to keep my head this way so I don't get in the picture. There we go. It was a smooth ride as Japanese Aerospace Agency JAXA astronaut Soichi Noguchi explained during a press conference from aboard the space station. The Dragon is the best. Short answer, he said. Comparing the experience with the riding NASA space shuttle and Russian Soyuz spacecraft, Dragon really wanted to go to space, he added.
That's a plus, I would say.
Riding the Dragon, Noguchi became only the third person to ride all three spacecraft, as the Associated Press reports. This feels like you are actually inside a Dragon bringing us up to space. So that was quite a feeling, said Jeff. How does he know what it actually feels like to be inside a Dragon? That's not something someone can make a comparison with.
Who knows?
During the same press event, first-time astronaut Victor Glover, the crew's Dragon pilot, the crew Dragon's pilot, let's try that, described the extended feeling of 4 Gs. That's four times the force per unit of mass due to the Earth's gravity. It's truly amazing. I've seen tons of pictures, Glover said, but when I first looked out the window at Earth, it's hard to describe. There's no words, .. It's an amazing, once-in-a-lifetime feeling.
Hmm. Well, there was about 7 or 8 words there, or maybe about 10.
No words to describe it, but we'll do our best to describe it.
That's pretty cool, though. Yeah, I remember when the first two guys went up on it, and they said it was a lot smoother than on the shuttle when they both flew on the shuttle before.
All right, should we attempt?
This is interesting to hear somebody else's feedback. From not only the shuttle, but the Soyuz as well.
Should we attempt to do a break?
I don't know. You just want to roll through it?
We're going to roll through it. Okay, hang on. We'll be right back in just a few minutes with a couple more segments in our show.
That's not rolling
that
through.
That muted too much.
Ronald D. Moore from Battlestar Galactica, and you're listening to Technorama.
Take a facts-based journey through the cosmos with Astronomy Cast. Join me, Dr. Pamela Gay, and my co-host Fraser Cain, publisher of Universe Today, as we discuss not just what we know, but how we know it. Topics range from dark matter to why Pluto isn't a planet. Get your episodes today at astronomycast.com or look for us in iTunes.
crap, that's hard to do.
I'll tell you. I think you were pushing a lot of buttons there.
There's like five times more things to push than I used to. This is just the wrong workflow. I mean, if I'd been doing it this way for the last 10 years, it'd be all right. But no, everything's in the wrong place, and I'm doing it on manual.
You need one of those new badges they had on Discovery where you help your personal heads up, HUD unit comes up.
Please, you know? I'll take it. All right, give us a
shout
out.
And we'll take a break, and we're going to come back up.
We do this show every week. Well, we try to do it every Sunday night that we're healthy and home and happy and, you know, kids are okay. Every Sunday night at 9:30 p.m. Eastern time on Facebook and YouTube. Go join our page over there and get notified. Let's give a shout out to the chat room, shall we, Craig?
Okay. I see Jeffrey Byers, John Miller Jr., Mike Robinson. I did not add the extra in there.
Anyone else? Is that it?
Hold on. The webpage started talking to me. yeah, Clinton Alvord. I think we know that guy. I think we met him before.
Did you say Amy was in there?
Amy Bowen was in there. Yeah. Ralph Wagler, Wangler. Yeah, Amy, there's Amy, and I think that's about
it for now. All right. Well, you can join us if you go over to our Technorama podcast page on Facebook and click the notifications there. Or, as we mentioned, subscribe on YouTube, turn on those notifications. You'll find us when it comes around. We appreciate everybody who does that. And hopefully we'll see you again live in the future because there's really not much to do on Sunday nights. It's not like we're going out dancing or anything.
Speak for yourself.
All right, let's get to the Remember When. I think I have this. Yes. All right. Is it your turn to talk or mine? I lost track.
Yeah, I'll start off.
Go ahead. Seven this article, hacks
I saw
history.
This page come up the other day, just the other day. It's actually an article from last year in July, but it was talking about some of the seven biggest hacks in history.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm talking like data breach kind of hacks. So we have, first off, it says Yahoo. You know, Yahoo back in 2013, they compromised 3 billion people in total. So the company revealed in 2017 that the accounts for every single customer during that time had been breached, including users of Tumblr and Flickr. Well. Okay, number two was First American, the financial corporation.
Yeah.
An American real estate and mortgage insurer revealed in May of 2019 that it left 900 million sensitive customer files exposed. The trove of digital documents could have been accessed. You know somebody who saw it.
Right.
Included on private information. Social Security numbers and bank account numbers.
This is another example of how your information is just
autoplay video.
Yeah, I did. Anyway,
thanks,
but it's
CNN
not clear
business.
If any of the files were improperly accessed. And you know, if they were on a clear server, it's probably a good chance they were.
I want to do the next one.
All right, go ahead.
In April, researchers discovered a vast collection of data on Facebook users was publicly exposed on Amazon cloud computing servers. Two third-party Facebook app developers were found to have stored user data on Amazon servers in a manner that allowed it to be downloadable to the public, according to a report from UpGuard, a cybersecurity firm. It was one of the many data breaches that Facebook had announced over the years. The Federal Trade Commission announced that last week a $5 billion settlement with the company over how the company lost control over massive troves of personal data and mishandled its communications with the users. Why am I not surprised?
I know, right? You can read the next one.
Marriott. Marriott said last year that someone had gained, quote, unauthorized access to its guest reservation system for nearly 5 years. Wow, talk about not plugging the hole.
And that'll be all right.
We'll patch it next weekend. Oh, you can't patch it next week. We're doing month-end close. Okay, we'll patch it the weekend after that. You can't do it bad. We have guests. Approximately 500 million guests' information could have been accessed. 500? Half a billion guests? Is that like the whole list? I don't know. That's crazy talk.
Yeah, it is. I don't know how many that encompasses
included
in there.
Included names, passport numbers, and credit card details. Wow. Thanks, Marriott. The hotel chain faces a $124 million fine for failing to protect customer data from UK regulators under Europe's tough new privacy rules called General Data Protection Regulation. GDPR, man.
Right. All right. So this one was really embarrassing, not for me, but for a lot of people.
Uh-huh. How'd you hear about this, Craig?
In the news.
Uh-huh. A friend told me.
Not firsthand information. But Adult Friend Finder, the swinger website, Adult Friend Finder said in 2016 that as many as 412 million users used their personal information, had their personal information exposed, as well as themselves.
I'm just going to say that's not all that was exposed with Adult Friend Finder.
Yeah, then they had the company's second hack. Oh, that was the company's second hack in a year.
You know, that reminds me of that episode of Black Mirror where they were gathering information and then making people do things so they wouldn't be, you know, it's like, we've got your information. Oh. We know what you were doing.
Yeah.
Now you have to go, you know, rob a bank.
That's right. Well, this one, you can read it, but I'm going to tell you, this one really bugs me.
Equifax. We've all heard this news story before. Equifax disclosed in 2017 that personal information of as many as 143 million people was compromised. This breach was particularly alarming, as Equifax is one of the major companies that tracks credit histories of almost all Americans and sell that sensitive information to banks, credit card companies, and other clients. The company recently reached a deal to pay up to $700 million to state and federal regulators to settle probes related to the incident, the largest settlement ever paid for a data breach. Well, congratulations mm-hmm. on setting the record for something.
Yeah. And I was trying to look really quick, but I think, you know, you look at somebody like Equifax, which that's one of the big three that handles credit reporting, mm-hmm. you know, for everybody. And then I can't, after hearing about this story, I keep getting credit card recommendations from Equifax, or it could be Experian. I'm trying to remember which one it is. That's why I was trying to quickly look it up, but I get stuff from them. I'm like, you know, protect your privacy with Equifax, you know, like have a service. And I'm like, no, you've proven you can't. That's what bugs the crap out of me.
And a hacker named Paige Thompson is accused of breaking into a Capital One server after gaining access to 140,000 social security numbers, 1 million Canadian social insurance numbers, and 80,000 bank account numbers, in addition to an undisclosed number of people's names, addresses, credit scores, credit limits, balances, and other information. I like that, other information. According to the bank and a U.S. Department of Justice complaint filed Monday. In total, more than 100 million Capital One customers' accounts could have been compromised. Oh, goody. What's in your wallet? Not anymore.
Some free and accessible data.
Nothing's in your wallet anymore. We just took it out.
Just put an IP number on my my wallet, and it'll just be an open FTP site. Just let it go.
just says honeypot on his wallet.
Yeah, that's what you need. That's funny.
Take my money, please. Oh, that's right. I don't have any more. Go hack your friend who took all my money. All right. Should we do the Patreon thing? We do have this music lined up because you people are terribly important to us. Thank you. This show is brought to you by you, our patrons. You enable us to keep this show running. And as I mentioned, we have a computer out. It's in need of repair. And I'm sure there's sufficient funds in...
His computer came down with COVID.
...the bank account to repair the power supply or whatever it is. They're still determining that. I should hear back Monday.
So his computer came down with COVID and is currently quarantining.
Yeah, no, it doesn't have a virus as far as I know. So thank you to Alexis Duran, Amber Elstad, Amy Bowen, Avner Braverman, Ben Vaughn, Brian Brown, Chris MC, Dan DeMancoyer, Danny Mortensen, Dean Jensen, Denise Inglis, Gary Lindros, Harold McKinstry, John Clifford. Thank you, John Noble. Thank you, Jorgis Rowan, Christina, Kyle Nishioka, Leon, Mark Kilfoyle, Mike Wills. I thought Night Gig Studios was on hiatus.
I don't know. Were they? Yeah. Well, I'd just leave them in there for now.
Okay. Night Gig Studios, you got honorable mention this week. Saturday Morning Media, thank you very much for your donations. Stephen Weshy, I'm going to say that right from now on. Promise.
Weshy.
Steve Therian, Spiffy, Steve Kodiat, and sweet Steve Lennon, who asked me just yesterday, when's the next Technorama? And I said, usual time on Sunday night. So I hope he's not staying up this late over in Sweden.
You know what? I'm going to do, maybe between the both of us, we both need to do a better job of letting everybody know the weeks we don't record, I think.
We usually say it ahead of time. So we'll say, hey, you know, Craig's off next week. We were going to take 1 week off for healing from my nasal surgeries. And then we took a second week off because Donna and I had travel plans, but they were canceled at the last minute. So sorry about that. And when we found out that we were not going to L.A., it was a little late to pull together a show. And then the laptop or the Mac Mini died this week. So yeah. It just keeps getting better, doesn't it? Curse you, 2020.
Yeah. Curse you, 2020.
It's almost over. It's almost over. There's light at the end of the tunnel. Thank you very much. We give you not only this praise on the show, but a special after show, a conversation between me and Craig on almost any other topic. Well, sometimes it's related to the show, and get that in a special feed. So for as little as $1 a show. Oh, I need the banner up here. Why am I not there? Patreon.com/Technorama Podcast. See, I'm starting to get the hang of this now that we're nearing the end of the show. How to run this. Oh, thank you for updating the next segment, Craig. We have a special show for you. So thank you again. Patreon.com/Technorama Podcast. Did I just about run out of music on that? Boy, we ran that segment long.
Did we? Wow.
Yes, we did.
We're actually doing pretty good tonight.
18 seconds left. I say we crank it up for the end. Why do I suddenly want to put Christmas lights on my house, robotically controlled to that music?
Yeah. I was going to say, excellent.
That's almost like TSO. Yeah, right. You know how people do the robotic lights to Trans-Siberian Orchestra? Listen to this. Yeah. This would be good. Christmas lights and snowflakes and stuff flashing. You could do it.
What? I better let Donna know to expect a blip on the budget.
Trust me, it's way too late in the year to start doing that now. People who do that stuff, it takes 3 months to get the lighting and programming right. No, thanks. I have other hobbies to suck up my time. All right, where are we now? We are in past the remote. Did I put a past me the remote? No, because I couldn't remember what the name of the...
I did. I put it right there.
Yeah, you did, but I couldn't find the music in time.
Oh, that's okay.
I miss my soundboard. I
really do.
I should find a way to export those files at some point, and then I can just dump them on another machine. All right. We have the audio files. I just don't have all the configurations ready to go.
Yeah, as a fan of NASA, I'm surprised you don't have redundant systems there.
Well, the good news is all the content is in the cloud. So we didn't really lose anything off of that machine, and I can program up another soundboard, but we're going to have to do it
quick. What do they say about the cloud? It's just somebody else's computer.
It's called commercialized ransomware. You put things on other people's computer and they charge you to hold on to it and say, if you don't keep paying us, we're going to delete your data. That's what they're doing. So in the past, me, the remote, this is our section of the show where we talk about videos and movies and series and whatnot we watch on Hulu and Netflix and wherever else we consume it. Maybe it's a movie from the theater if we ever got to go do that again. Well, I just finished watching season 3 of Man in the High Castle on Amazon Prime. I watched season 1 originally and started in on episode 1. Well, according to my record, I got up to episode 3, but I don't remember a darn thing about it. But I went back and watched season 2 at the behest of a good friend of mine, Scott Reynolds. Mm-hmm. He said, oh, you got to watch. You got to watch. You're going to like it. And I said, I kind of liked season 1 because it was, well, it's based on a book by Philip K. Dick of the same name. Man in the High Castle. And I enjoy that. It was an alternate reality. You know, what if the Japanese and the Germans really won World War II? What would the U.S. look like? What would we be living in? And it was fun from that standpoint. But then you get into this whole thing about, wait a minute, there's people who can cross over in this reality from our reality where the Allies won the war, from their reality and back. So season two starts to dig a little deeper into that, and season three is ramping up to season four. So they've got some really interesting plot points in here, and you can sense the struggle in some of these main characters, particularly the American John Smith, who's part he's a high-ranking Nazi official in New York. He serves the Reich, but he's torn because, you know, the eugenics policy says anybody with a defect must be destroyed. Well, guess what?
Right.
His son has a defect.
Oh,
and yeah, his son is like the picture perfect young junior. And it's really interesting to watch this because you're like, this is wrong. This is so wrong. But I love watching it. This is so wrong. This is so wrong. What they're doing is wrong. But I can't stop watching it. It's so wrong.
Right.
it's very intriguing. I love what the writers have done. I'm glad Scott talked me back into watching this. If you haven't watched or you stopped watching like I did, please go back. I implore you. Seasons two and three are worth it, and I can't wait for season four. Scott and I have a monthly call, and our next call is coming up next Saturday, right after Thanksgiving, and I can't wait. I said, I have so many things I want to talk about this character and where that storyline is going, and what was the point of this plot part, and what do you think is going to happen here? It's a whole lot of fun.
So what did Miss Technorama think about it?
She has not watched. This was my show.
Okay.
We just finished watching season three of Killing Eve. We'll get to that again. If we didn't, did we talk about Killing Eve?
No, maybe not. I don't remember talking about that.
And we are currently watching season four of The Crown. So we have our together shows.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I started watching, the whole series is on there. The Animaniacs from 2020. It's on Hulu.
Very cerebral show.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm a huge fan of the original, the original for sure. The new one, I started reading some reviews that were there weren't really good reviews for it, but I watched it with Harrison and, I've seen about half of the episodes so far and I've enjoyed it. I think the original series was a little more on the original side, you know, than the new ones. But, I wasn't trying to dig deep into these, like some of the reviewers. I'm like, well, they sound like they're trying to find a deeper meaning into this. I'm like, it's the Animaniacs. They just make fun of stuff. And I wasn't digging that deep into it. And I've enjoyed it. So, anyway, I recommend.
Did they get older?
Somebody picking it out.
Did they get older? Because now it's 2020.
No, but the first episode was fun for them catching up. It was like they just almost like they just woke up in 2020 and was catching up on from 1998 forward.
What are the names? You know, Wacko something and Dot.
Yakko, Wacko and Dot.
Yakko, Wacko and Dot. That's what it is. Yeah. Okay.
So, again, I was a fan of the original. The first one was funny because. First episode, especially because they were catching up with everything. Even Pinky and the Brain, the whole story revolves around the brain inventing the internet. It was in 1998. He got the idea for the internet and brought it forward. Anyway, you have to watch it.
Oddly enough, last night, November 21st, in 1969, it was the first official permanent connection on the ARPANET between UCLA. To UCLA and SRI. So the first two official ARPA, of course, the ARPANET is the predecessor to the internet. So strange you should mention that today.
When was what was the date on that? Do you remember?
November 21st, 1969.
Because
I throw a little history segment, mostly about music, into Saturday Night Karaoke.
So I'm older than the internet.
Not by much.
Just by a little bit. By about 11 months.
your epoch clock is a few thousand seconds ahead.
Yeah.
Wait, what's your birthday? Give it in minus epoch time.
Yeah. People are like, huh? Yeah. That's funny.
Alrighty, that takes us through past the remote. Thank you. And there's more coming because I am halfway through a whole bunch of other stuff. I got to finish up some of these series that I'm watching on Netflix. Currently going through The Liberator, which I think is, I'll talk more about that, but very interesting. What else am I going on? I'm working my way through season 6.
Oh, The Liberator. That's the rotoscoped animated show.
Yes.
I saw that and it's on my list. I wanted to check that out.
Yep.
So what do you think so far?
I'm enjoying it. It's kind of like a documentary, but, it's not taking the path that the trailer leads you to believe. It's
okay.
Really interesting, but good story about personal relationships and, of course, World War II, all the hardships that the soldiers went through and whatnot. So I'll get to that when we get to that. Probably next week. I should be done with it soon.
All right.
All right. Let's get on with Geek Library. I think I have music for this. Please play the yes.
Yes.
Something's working.
Okay.
I like that. All right, multiple layers in that track. Study maps the odd structural similarities. I'm glad I'm not the only one who noticed this. Strange similarities between the human brain and the universe. You ever look at like a map of neurons? And it looks kind of like a map of what they think the universe looks like based on, you can't really stand back and take a picture of the universe, but kind of know what it looks like by the cosmic background radiation noise. Well, one fascinating quirk of the universe that shapes is that the shapes and patterns can be found in hugely different contexts. The global spiral can be seen in the human cochlea and the shape of a spiral galaxy. Your inner ear is the shape of a galaxy. Who knew that? The fractal geometry of veins.
Get that galaxy out of my ear.
Fractal geometry of veins echoed in the branching of lightning. Well, let's just hope your veins don't blow up. In a bold new pilot study, an astrophysicist and neurosurgeon have bumped it up a notch using quantitative analysis to compare two of the most complex systems in nature. The neuronal network of the human brain and the cosmic network of galaxies in the universe. Who would have thought? Let's see if I can get these images working right here. I see I'm doing the talking. Yes. And I think we need image 7. That didn't work because I'm not there. Me 7. There. Okay. So what you see in that picture right there is a galaxy. Honest, really. Okay. It's actually not a peculiar comparison. You've seen the image that occasionally gets shared around showing the human neuron and a simulated galaxy cluster side by side, the two looking startlingly similar. And I think I've got that here. There we go. This is your brain cell. This is your brain cell in the universe.
Yeah. Okay.
It's actually not a peculiar comparison. I already read that. Okay. But there's a lot more to the human brain and the universe than how it looks. So astrophysicist Franco Vazza of the University of Bologna in Italy, and neurosurgeon Alberto Filetti of the University of Verona in Italy have spent the last few years investigating to determine if the similarities are more than skin deep. writing in Nautilus Quarterly in 2017, they explained galaxies can group into enormous structures called clusters, superclusters, and filaments that stretch for hundreds of millions of light years. The boundary between these structures and neighboring stretches of empty space called cosmic voids can be extremely complex. Gravity accelerates matter at these boundaries to speeds of thousands of kilometers per second, creating shockwaves and turbulence in intergalactic gases. We have predicted that the void filament boundary is one of the most complex volumes of the universe, as measured by the number of bits of information it takes to describe it. This got us to thinking, is it more complex than the brain? Well, the two types of structures differ in size by 27 orders of magnitude. That's billion, billion, billion. But the team's result suggests that while the physical processes that drive the structure of the universe and the structure of the human brain are extremely different, they can result in similar levels of complexity and self-organization, the researcher said. The starting point was working out similarities between the two. The human cerebellum has around 69 billion neurons. The observable cosmic web contains over 100 billion. Off by a little bit, but that's not bad. That's one.
Pretty close.
69 billion, 100 billion. Hey, when it's that many, it's a lot. I don't want to pick that many things up off the floor.
Okay. No.
Both systems are arranged in well-defined networks with nodes, neurons in the brain, galaxies in the universe, connecting via filaments. Both neurons and galaxies have typical scale radius that's only a fraction of the length of the filaments. And the flow of information and energy between nodes is only around 25% of the mass of the energy content of each system. In addition, there are similarities between the composition of the brain and the composition of the universe. The brain has about 77% water. The universe is about 72% dark energy.
Okay, so which is not water.
No, my brain is made up of dark energy, all right. So yeah. There's more to read about this very fascinating comparison. Let me see if I can pull this back and get that picture off of Craig's face. There we go.
Right.
More to read.
That's pretty cool. Actually, I kept thinking of, Star Trek Discovery with the mycelial network. You know, how this would compare to something like that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and then, of course, yeah, I remember early on, looking at fractals, and you see fractals in nature everywhere too. Yep.
This makes me think of Doctor Who, because he can go anywhere in that network instantly. So does he have spore drive?
Yeah, that's what he has.
Oh, yeah.
That's how they explain it.
Or what was that? The improbability drive?
Yes.
Okay. That takes us to the end of the show. Thank you very much for joining us.
Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, by the way.
Where were we going? Oh, you can find more information about that by going to our show notes at chuckchat.com/technorama, episode 619. And you know what? That reads the same upside down. Episode 619. Have fun with that. Our question of the week this week is, what problem of the 1980s and 1990s no longer exists?
Well, from the 1990s, dial up.
My teenage acne?
Looking for an album at a record store.
I don't know. That's a terrible problem these days. Looking for it
and not having it.
How about there you finding go. The record store?
Yeah, that's right.
Where's Tower Records?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So yeah, that problem no longer exists. Let's see what our listeners come up with. Let us know.
Or trying to make a mixtape.
I was just talking to Lisa about mixtapes yesterday. Craig, this is really bizarre that you're coming up with all these strange strange things.
All right.
Contact us on the listener line. Let us know. 707-530-2428. That's 707-530-CHAT. Or email us, technorama@chuckchat.com. We'd love to hear from you. Of course, we will be posting this to social media next week, and we'll read your answers on the air, just like we always do. What did you do?
Or call in, because you know it's International Technorama Voicemail Month.
It is. 707-530-2428. Don't miss out. You might be the only one to actually participate, but hey, everyone else will miss out. Just because you do something different doesn't mean you're the crazy one.
Hey, hot tip. You can call us any time of the year. Just saying.
It's not a hot tip. Let's get out of here, shall we? It's been an hour. Let's let them go. If you want to get in touch with us, don't forget, 707-530-2428 is how you get. Or go over to the website, chuckchat.com/technorama. I think it's all settled out. We're posting things, and there's backups happening, and yeah, the website is finally, after 15 years, we're using HTTPS.
Yeah,
thank you,
Craig,
for managing that. I know it's been a few months since we completed that project, but always a nice relief to have that taken care of for us. And what else? Find our podcast wherever you find normal podcasts. Oh, the what else happened while we were gone? Podcasting for Dummies 4th edition is available. Let's see if I can put this right over the old poster.
Yeah.
There, right over the old poster. Get the one with the pretty lady on the cover. Not the headphones, pretty lady. Not headphones, pretty lady. Till next time, Craig, give us a binary high five.
All right, 101. Thank you, everybody.